This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on, I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yes, that's right. Another Netflix is back to talk about a Hollywood Christmas. We're taking it to the max. That's right. We are breaking our format for the first time ever here today to talk about a Hollywood movie on another streaming service, a Hollywood Christmas. And here with me, a man who just got back from Hollywood in time for Christmas. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
Rob, I'm tired. Yes. I don't see how Santa does this back and forth around the holidays. Traveling is hell.
How were the airports?
They weren't great. Not great. I actually ran into a tornado. It was very weird. But I made it.
Into a tornado?
So I'm on my way to the airport. My flight's like at 9, 10 a.m. And I'm just driving to Dallas. And, you know, everything's fine. Sun's shining, all that good stuff. And then all of a sudden, the sky starts getting really dark. And it starts to, and like, it still hasn't rained, but the sky just starts getting dark. Well, someone calls me, it's just like, hey, you hear about the tornado in Dallas? It's like, no, stop it. What are you talking about? There's no tornado in Dallas. Boom. The sky just opens up. Rain's pouring down. It's coming sideways, all this other stuff. And I hear sirens. Rob, I had to turn around on the freeway and go park at like a Walmart and lock my, basically go inside the Walmart and take cover.
Because with strangers?
Tornado was like, yeah, I mean, not my friends and family at the Walmart. Yes. But yeah, some strangers.
Did you make friends?
And yeah. No, I did actually. I kind of made people upset.
Yeah.
Apparently, like, because I was standing there and I was like, oh, we're trapped, like rats, you know, like, what are we going to do? We've been here for 5 minutes and, like, we don't know how long we can be here. I think I'm going to eat. And so people were like, well, you just can't eat off the shelf. I'm like, well, you know, we're in a tornado, y'all. Like, we really can't be expecting me to pay for this apple. And then it stopped raining, and I was the only person who was eating. I don't think I'll last long in like a disaster situation.
Wow, this is so interesting. Okay, so this is like some sort of like apocalyptic scenario. You're locked in the Walmart.
Yeah.
I guess you could have left, right? They didn't lock you in.
Yeah, no. The doors opened and closed automatically, yes.
And so you're sort of the guy there that's like, hey, we're all going to die. Let's eat this free stuff.
Well, no, more like we're going to starve if we don't eat.
You need to keep your strength up.
Right. And people were like, but it's been 10 minutes. It's like, yeah, but like the temptation of just eating at the Walmart was far too much. So I don't think I made friends. I think I made the opposite. And so I was one of the first people to leave the Walmart once it stopped raining.
Okay. So were there Walmart employees that were in this conversation? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They started the conversation. They definitely were like, sir, what are you doing? Like, eating the apple.
Yeah. They weren't like, hey, I mean, is this like a low-key looting?
Yeah. Is it looting if you just take one thing?
Like, it's a fruiting if you start eating the apples.
It is a fruiting. Yeah. I did eat a piece of fruit. But yeah, I didn't know people would be so upset. I still didn't know apples were such a hot commodity. Like, I thought like, okay, it's an
out of everything
best,
in the Walmart. That was the first thing you went for. Like, I would have gone for junk food.
No, it was the closest thing, you know, because I was by the front door. We were watching the rain come down. You know, they kind of keep produce over that to that right side. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, I'll just wander over here, grab an apple, and then just stand in the doorway like everybody else. I didn't know it was going to be that big of a deal. Also, didn't know I would be that hungry. But, you know, learn something new in the middle of the disaster.
Did you wash the apple or you just ate the apple off? You see that word? Yeah.
No, I had nowhere to be. I just went to the bathroom, washed the apple, came back. Like, why didn't you just go to the checkout line? Like, for an apple? Are you serious, Walmart? Please, grow up. We're in a disaster situation, and you want me to pay for an apple? This is crazy. Like, and they act like I'm the drama. Like, I did something wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm hoping there's some sort of, like, extreme weather and going to head over to some good stores.
Right. Like, but then even then, it's not like you can justify eating an apple. You cannot justify like, oh, well, I thought we were going to be here a while, so I just decided to take this PlayStation 5. You know, you
But could you like open chips? Like, what's the cutoff?
I do think you can open chips. Like, I think the cutoff is just as long as you can get away with it. And I don't think the cops were going to pull up because it was a tornado. So I think I'd have been fine had I like, I wonder if I could have went and got like a microwave off the shelf because this is Walmart. Like, could I got a microwave off the shelf, like literally open plug it up and then like, yeah, do like a hot pocket or something like that. Like, what's the limit?
Maybe like a break room where you could heat up the hot pocket. I don't think you need to open a new microwave.
Yeah, but then going in the break room just feels like it's against the rules.
Yeah.
But like, if we're in a zombie apocalypse, this is all like, you know, like this is all fair game. But the break room, you're like, you need a badge. I don't know. I used to work at Walmart, so I actually know it's not that hard to get into the break room and nobody cares if you're back there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, yeah. All right. So that's a fascinating story, but we have a very interesting movie to talk about here today. It is called A Hollywood Christmas. We have been kicking around this idea for a while, and I expect we're going to get some pushback on this, but we have talked about that, hey, if we feel like it, we may visit some other streaming services, okay? The show is called Nothing But Netflix, but we talked about the idea of taking it to the max like we're going to do here today, maybe doing some Rockin' with Roku.
Rocking with Roku. What was it? Hulu or don't you? I always mess this one up.
Yeah. Yeah, we got fun hanging with Hulu, I think it was.
Hanging with Hulu, yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, the point is, yes, Nothing But Netflix is a great title. It's a great concept, but there's so much that we're leaving out here, and we get so many like requests from you guys, the listeners. Y'all always tell us, oh, why don't you cover this? Why don't you cover this? So now that we're going to cover it, we don't want to hear a lot of guff, okay? We don't want to hear a lot of mess. We're giving you what you wanted. And we're just going to do it every now and then. It's not going to be all the time. Maybe once a month,
in a while.
Once a quarter, you know what I'm saying? But I just feel like we should not put ourselves in a box, even though, you know, by design, we put ourselves in the box.
We put ourselves in the box, okay? Yeah. Just like all the people that went into the Walmart, okay?
Right.
And so we are going to talk about this movie, A Hollywood Christmas, which I think is very interesting. If you really want everybody, if you're really upset about this, we will go back. We will double back and we will talk about a Netflix holiday movie coming up on our next episode. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah. People have been saying do Holiday. I don't know if that's on Netflix or if that's a different thing. We've gotten a ton of good suggestions, but y'all suggested this too. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't give you everything you want and then you'll also be upset with us for giving you everything
Holiday.
You want.
So, okay.
Yeah. It was a 2020 movie, but apparently it was really, really good. It has Emma Roberts in it. It's a whole thing. So, you know, if we got to double back, we can. Netflix has some good Christmas movies available, but, you know, I think there is stuff to be found elsewhere.
Well, I thought this was super fun. I really did enjoy A Hollywood Christmas because, you know, we talked about the Lindsay Lohan film that kicked off the holiday season. We talked about Falling for Christmas, Lindsay Lohan Netflix film, which was basically one of Netflix's takes on the classic Christmas movie. And so here, A Hollywood Christmas, I feel like really turns this all on its ear, Chappelle, because this is a movie about people making a holiday movie.
Yeah, this is the movie that is basically the movie that encompasses what you and I talk about when we talk about holiday movies, where we say, you know, there's just this formula. They do the same thing big town person meets small town person. Corporate America drags one person away, and then there's this whole thing. There's a conflict. They come back together. They fall in love. Blah blah. Christmas magic. Santa's there. You know, we talk about that all the time, kind of tongue in cheek. This movie said, okay, you have something there. Let's lean into that. So they make a movie about a movie that follows that formula while also following that formula.
Yes.
So it's meta. It's all over the place, but it works. I did enjoy it.
It was very fun. I thought this movie is to holiday movies what the first Scream is to horror movies.
Yeah, it's like a love story, an ode to horror.
Well, Scream was sort of like that. There were people that were talked about like that there were horror movie fans who were sort of like talking about how like, okay, if this was a horror movie, this would happen. And so in A Hollywood Christmas, we really get very meta because we have people who are making a Christmas holiday film who realize that the story that's happening is this holiday film story that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, the only person missing was what, Billy Loomis? He's, you know, the killer from Scream. You know, and I think he could have made a cameo, but no, you're 100% correct. This is somebody who, the person who made this knows holiday movies well. So they make a movie about someone who makes holiday movies and in the format that we all know that they follow. And so it was a good twist on a holiday movie. I'm surprised it hasn't been done before. If it hasn't been done before, like if you're listening to this and you know that this is like, oh, this is like the third of its kind, whatever, fine. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time I've ever seen anything of this. So I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. So I thought this was very fun. It's also very meta also in like other ways that are beyond even what the movie intended, because the movie takes place on what appears to be Warner Brothers studio lot. And we have people who are making a Christmas movie, but their budgets are being slashed by corporate restructuring that is going on in the film. But also it's been heavily reported about how corporate restructuring at HBO Max has really led to a lot of budgets being shifted around and different projects like Batgirl, among others, being shelved over at HBO Max. So I think that the movie becomes even more meta because I think that this was sort of like a fictional idea about the corporate restructuring, but is actually happening. And you wonder if there will be more Christmas films and holiday movies being done originally at HBO Max.
Yeah, and that's a decent point to bring up because, Rob, not too long ago, you and I talked about Blockbuster on Netflix.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard, but Blockbuster has been canceled. Yeah, and so it's like, you want to talk about meta, you know, Blockbuster basically being canceled by Netflix only to then Netflix to go make a show about Blockbuster that was eventually canceled by Netflix. It's just like, yeah. Whoa.
But Chappelle, I feel like that it's rare for Netflix to come out so quickly and say, yeah, actually, this one's canceled. Canceled. Yeah. Like, I feel like they usually like drag it out and it's like maybe there's another season coming. Maybe there's not. But I feel like it's rare that they like flat out like, yeah, this was a flop.
Do you think it was part of the bit? Like, because it's Blockbuster, it is allowed to get canceled very quickly, you know, mm-hmm. like Blockbuster was, you know? Maybe yeah. That's what they were going for.
I don't know. But so, yeah, that's one that did not make it. Hollywood Christmas. So we'll see. HBO Max has been really like, do you follow a lot of that stuff? Like some of this industry news?
No. I follow Netflix stuff almost exclusively just because of my Twitter feed. Mm-hmm. But no, I never keep up with what's going on here on the HBO Max. I still have an issue with HBO Max whole interface. Like they're the worst app that I've ever experienced in my life. I mean, these people, you press fast forward and it just like freezes. It starts over. It just completely just gets up and walks away. So I try to stay away from HBO Max in general. But yeah, if you ever hear any of this stuff, Rob, you be free to let me know because I love mess. And this is messy.
Well, one of the stories that they were in the news this week was that they had a show called The Minx. Have you ever heard of this show?
Yeah, I kept seeing people being like, what? The Minx is canceled. How dare you? And I'm like, I've never heard of this show at all.
Yeah. I think it was sort of like a period piece about the people that made, I don't know, like Playgirl magazine. Like, I don't know if it's technically Playgirl magazine in the show. And I watched an episode of it. It was fine. But I guess they were in the middle of filming the second season when they ultimately said that they're going to stop the production on the Minx, and it had been canceled, even though they were in the middle of filming. They had basically shot the whole second season. Of course, Westworld got canceled. They're taking Westworld off of HBO Max. So there's a lot of moving pieces going on right now over at HBO Max. So it makes it an interesting place to have the story of A Hollywood Christmas, a movie about a woman who is an expert at making sort of like these bespoke, perfect holiday films for a network, for a company, and that she is basically being told that her budgets are being cut, and ultimately they want to stop the production of her story.
Yeah, what was the lady's name from the Hallmark movies who did all the movies with Cody Califiore? Was that Candy Kane? Is this the story of Candy Kane? Like, is this her biopic? Because doesn't this make sense for it to be her?
It does. It does. Yeah. So,
Candace Kane.
Candace Kane. I don't know if ultimately Candy Kane's films aired on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, where were they from?
I don't know. I feel like that they were just, I don't know where they ultimately lived. But basically in this film, we are meeting the story of a woman who really, her whole jam is making holiday films. Her name is Jessica. And that's really what, you know, what she's all about. And Jessica is working on a new movie called, what was it? A Christmas Cupcake?
I think so, yeah. And it's a story about Chloe and Chloe's cakes. She's a baker, which, I mean, come on now. This is the formula. She's a baker in a small town. And then her last name is Donner, which, you know, I always got to throw in something Christmassy in there. And she's, like, approached by a set of, like, a bunch of lawyers where they're coming in to shut her down, you know, like, because, like, Landmark Real Estate needs to buy this place. So you got 30 days to get out of here. And so now she needs cupcakes and the magic of Christmas to save the day, and a little bit of love in there as well. And so that's what story Jess is bringing to the table this time.
Yeah. And what the film really plays on is the tropes of all of these movies, which we talked about in Falling for Christmas. Chloe has a cupcake shop. It's like a mom and pop cupcake shop that has been in her family for years. And so these like real estate lawyers are coming in, and basically they are going to shut her down. And usually, like in the Hallmark movies, that basically like Krispy Kreme has basically expanded to the point where nobody wants her cupcakes. Who would be the corporate cupcake people?
The corporate cupcake people.
Yeah. Maybe I feel like you would know this better than me, right?
Well, I don't eat cakes, you know, but
I guess
do,
so.
People, yeah. But like nothing but cake is a big one. You know, I have to eat a cake, that is the one.
But where do people go? Like, I feel like that not necessarily that you're looking for cupcakes, but like what's like the corporate cupcake place?
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you go to Krispy Kreme for a cupcake?
I don't think so. You know, here in Texas, people like Magnolia Bakery, you know, that's like, oh, the Chip and Joanna Gaines. I think that might be the corporate cupcake of Texas, you know, because Chip and Joanna, they do a lot of moving into areas that they probably shouldn't be in all the time, but just because they can. And I think if you have a small mom and pop cupcake shop, Magnolia Bakery shows up, they're shutting you down very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I guess, I mean, can you sell enough cupcakes to keep the lights on?
That's a good question. You know, maybe it's not a cupcake place in like specifically like a Karis Cupcakes or something. Maybe it's just like cupcakes, like a random bakery just in general, right? Like where it's just like the bakery that just happens to have everything. You know, actually, Walmart might be another good place for that. You know, because Walmart is one of those places that has everything. So it's like they're like the leading, like they're like in top three sales in like hardware, top three sales in toiletries, top, you know, because they do everything. And so maybe Walmart is like the cupcake.
Yeah, I'll tell you
that we don't know.
You know where I go when I need a bunch of cupcakes? Sam's Club.
That's still Walmart. It's still the same people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's see how they get you. And they were tripping over me getting an apple, Rob, an apple. And they're out here running the cupcake business into the ground. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Anyway, so Chloe, that she is being basically bought out, and there are all of these lawyers. And then what in this film, one of the people is a handsome lawyer who then is trying to work with her to sort of like restructure her business and tries to give her ideas about how to ultimately save the cupcake shop. And that's how basically all of these different movies end up working, that somebody has like a mom and pop business. Somebody comes in from out of town. They learn the true meaning of Christmas. And that's what's going on. And so that Jessica is hard at work, working on her latest film. She has an assistant who is named Rena, who is a very fun character in the film. Just like Jessica, Rena knows all the rules, Chappelle.
Yeah, Rena's tapped in. So as Jessica is putting on this movie about, you know, with that formula you were talking about, it starts to mirror her real life in a way. Because Jessica, her thing is like, she is, in a way, you know, very similar to Chloe, where she's been doing something that she loves for years, making these Christmas movies that might not be the most lucrative. And now we have this, it like enters this guy named Christopher, who is sent in from corporate or, you know, the production company. And he's like, hey, I'm brought in. We need to make some changes because we're cutting the cupcake budget, or I'm sorry, the Christmas movie budget, moving forward. And Jessica, of course, is taken aback. But Rena's like, oh, here we go. Typical Christmas movie. Like, it's following right along the lines with what we need. I guess there's going to be some magic here, some love here. This is all going to work out. And so that's kind of the premise of the show. The problem is, in the movie, they start to deviate away from the typical formula of like how this thing works and how these Christmas miracles typically work in these movies. And so that's where Jessica starts to struggle in her life, because when she starts to deviate, so does the plot of the movie that she's making. And so it all becomes like one jumbled mess.
It's interesting because I feel like that the film argues two different things. That one, that they argue like, hey, you cannot deviate from the formula. There is a certain formula to the Christmas film and you can't deviate from it. And if you do, there will be unforeseen disaster if you do this. On the other hand, they also say in this film, this is art. This is not an algorithm, that you can't come in with a formula and fix how this all works. This is a artistic endeavor. It's not math. And so, Chappelle, which is it? Is there a formula that cannot be deviated from, or is this art that ultimately doesn't have an answer to the equation?
Yeah, I noticed that too. Throughout the movie, like, Jessica is saying, like, stop it. You can't corporate America this, you know, as Sue Hawk would say. You know, you can't come in.
We're out here in the bush.
Exactly. You can't just come in and say, like, we need to change these things because then Christmas movies will be more lucrative. Because that's not what they're about. They're about the art. But then at the same time, they're saying, like, but if you deviate from the formula that we know, then the art doesn't work. I think there was a moment where they had to course correct, and they did have to get back to like the Christmas movie of it all. So maybe there's like a gray area, because what we find out from Jessica is that she's a perfectionist. Everything has to go a certain way. So she's preaching this no formula thing, even though she lives her life by that exact rule. She's saying like, you can't come in and give me your formula, because my formula is that this is art and it's all going to work out. But no, it's not the same. Like, she's like misrepresenting herself, because she's really like, things have to happen this exact way or it's not going to be perfect. And she is very much the perfectionist.
One of the things I felt like was a big plot hole in this movie was that they're making this movie and it's supposed to be July in California. And I felt like that all the people in the movie are not dressed like it's the summer. I don't know if that was something that they couldn't necessarily do. They said it's July, but I feel like nobody's acting like it's July in the movie.
Rob, it snowed. It snowed in this film. Mm-hmm. It literally snowed in this film. Like, yeah. The fact that they're not dressed for the snow or dressed for July is might be an issue, but the fact that it literally snowed in LA in July, yeah, burn this movie to the ground. But again, it's Christmas magic, Rob. Listen, you can't like logic your way through this. It's not how Christmas works, Rob. Even in July.
So, okay. Well, I guess you brought it up. So, the film is going to end ultimately on that they hold up the production because the fake snow isn't happening. And then they ultimately are working on getting it going. And then the movie, The Final Kiss, happens and that it is snowing. The man who's in charge of the fake snow says, hey, that's not me. Santa Claus who is there, who the film sort of treats like, okay, is a little bit of a mysterious figure. Potentially, this is the real Santa Claus here that shows up on the set at the end of the movie. That they really do, like, there is no explanation of how it is actually snowing in July on the Warner Brothers set. Chappelle, I do have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. As someone who was a California resident for, you know, healthy chunk of my adulthood, I can tell you the only thing that I ever saw that resembled snow, especially
not the ashes,
especially, you know, in these summer months, sometimes we have very, very, you know, forest fires, okay, wildfires even. And the ash blows like this wasn't snow, baby.
No, it was the forest fire blizzard of the of the year. This was bad. Yeah, I think they forgot. But you know what? They mentioned Die Hard in this movie, right? And Die Hard apparently is a Christmas film. Die Hard was released in July as well. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, if Die Hard can be released in July as a Christmas movie, then maybe it can snow in July in L.A. Again, who am I? Who are me to argue with the magic of Christmas? You can't logic your way through this, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And maybe, you know, having Santa around maybe puts a spin on some of these wildfires. Maybe makes it different.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, if Santa is in a Christmas movie, it's always the real Santa. Mm-hmm. I don't care in what shape, form, or fashion Santa is in the movie. Like, if this an unknown Santa shows up, mall Santa or otherwise, it's the real Santa. When we talked about Falling for Christmas, isn't that what the Lindsay Lohan thing was called? Mm-hmm. Like, Santa showed up, and I was like, this is Santa. This is the real Santa. He made the sleigh thing happen. Like, this is the guy. I always just leave that opening just in case. I think I've seen too many Christmas movies where it is Santa, and you get a wink and a nod, mm-hmm. and he disappears. No, as far as I'm concerned, this was Santa, too.
Chappelle, we end up seeing that Jess's film, she meets on the set Christopher, who's an executive over here at HBO Max, and he comes by and he's able to give some notes about the budget overall.
Yeah, and by notes, he says that they're slashing it, basically. You know, mm-hmm. like, we're coming in, we're shutting this down. Matter of fact, we're shutting down the whole Christmas division. So we're going to get through this movie. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to monitor you, making sure that you don't start tripping on the budget and stuff, because these just aren't lucrative. And then we're taking these away from you. And Jess is upset, but it's really all, she doesn't really have a choice. She's just like, I have to do my best on my last film. And so now she has Christopher as like her number two in the director's chair, or at least just somebody who's very annoying and just looming at all times, you know?
Yeah, they want to restructure the budgets. And, you know, Christopher, does he have a point, Chappelle? Are there too many holiday movies? I mean, I feel like that we all know the formula. Do we need so many new ones every year?
Huh. I mean, these are good questions. I want to ask you a few myself. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about a movie, and you tell me if it is a Netflix original or if it is a HBO Max, like random recurring.
I thought you were going to tell me, is it real or not?
Yeah, it's essentially the same question, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so is this movie a Netflix original or is it just an HBO Max like replay of a random other movie, right? That's the question.
Okay.
All right. Holiday Rush.
I feel like I've heard of that. I'm gonna say it's a HBO Max.
It is a Netflix original. Ooh, sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Why not really? What's the difference between HBO movies and Netflix movies?
Netflix movies are just exclusively on Netflix. Okay. HBO movies are real movies that were out in the wild and people have now drawn them to HBO. Because I don't think HBO Max has original films, does it? Like, they're like only on HBO Max.
Yeah, no, they do.
They have Christmas movies like that?
Well, what do you think this is?
I thought this was just like some other shit that they found.
No, this is like, this is why they have to cut the budget. They're making too much stuff.
Okay, let me give you another one. You ready?
Yeah.
Holiday Harmony.
That's Netflix.
That's HBO Max, Rob. I'm sorry.
What's Holiday Harmony?
What is Holiday Harmony about? Let's see. It's
I had to guess it's sure like some sort of like jam band that's being bought out.
Yeah, by big music. No, a likable and talented underdog gets momentarily sidelined from chasing her musical dreams when her van breaks down in a welcoming small town just before Christmas. I think she's the corporate person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds herself in a small town. She meets a guy, probably with some type of guitar, who shows her that the true meaning of Christmas is not, you know, making money in capitalism. It's music or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brooke Shields is in this too. Chappelle, I was trying to come up with that if we were in the holiday movie, like what is the holiday movie version of a podcast for Christmas?
Yeah. So like you and I, we do our weekly Christmas recaps or whatever on nothing but Christmas Netflix. And then Netflix comes in to buy us out. There's like, oh, they send in somebody from corporate and they're like, oh, no, you're going to we got to shut you down because we don't want you to talk about holiday movies anymore. We want you to talk about strictly, you know, big Netflix, you know, mega action movies.
That's where the money is.
Right, exactly. And we're like, no, not that again. And they're like, yeah, come on in. And we're like, we push back against it. But the Netflix exec is so nice. We keep running into them and we keep finishing each other's sentences and then just trying to open doors at the same time. And it's all awkward. And there's like some chemistry there. Next thing you know, we're in love with the Netflix exec. Her name is Nicole Sesternino.
Well, you
go off and have a whole thing with her. And I just stand by, you know?
See, it's hard because I feel like that there's not a lot of these films that are based around the friendship between two men.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm like your backup. Whatever, Rena. I'm Rena here. So I'm like, Rob, you really got to give Nicole a chance. She's from big Netflix, but you don't understand. Like, this could be true love. And you're like, no, I'm Rob has a podcast. I don't need to sell out. And, you know, Nicole's being the Grinch that we know she is. You know, I heard she hates the holidays. She doesn't really get into this stuff, Rob. And so, yeah, that's what it is. I am Rena, and I'm just pushing you into your Netflix holiday special miracle.
Yeah. So I've you know how I love the ChatGPT, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you do. You really do. It's been giving us a lot of good content recently on these podcasts.
Okay. So I've asked a ChatGPT to come up with the Robin Chappelle holiday film. Okay.
Do you want to tell people what ChatGPT is for the ChatGPT?
This is a AI that is very language based, works off of like writes things in sentences, and you can ask it almost anything. Okay.
Yeah.
So I've asked it to work on a holiday film about our podcasting that hopefully, you know, maybe this could be, if HBO Max is going to expand this division, if they decide that this is where it goes. Okay. Let me read this to you. Okay. Picture it, Chappelle. Okay. As the snow gently falls on the picturesque town of Oakdale, Rob and Chappelle are co-hosts of the popular podcast Holiday Cheer and are feeling the holiday spirit more than ever. Rob, a charming and ambitious young man, has always dreamed of making it big in the world of podcasting.
It's true.
He's always been a bit of a workaholic, but this holiday season, he finds himself feeling more and more burnt out. Chappelle, on the other hand, is the laid-back and carefree co-host of the show. He's always the one who keeps Rob grounded and focused, but this year, he's feeling a little lost and unsure of his place in the world. As the two friends gear up for their annual holiday special, they find themselves struggling to find the perfect topic for their show. That is until they meet Abby, a talented musician who's struggling to find her place in the world as well. Rob and Chappelle are immediately drawn to Abby's charming personality and beautiful voice, and they invite her to join them on the show. As they work together to create the perfect holiday podcast, they find themselves of each falling for Abby and realizing they may find the missing piece. Oh, this is like a love triangle.
Yeah,
meanwhile,
keep going.
Their podcast is being threatened by the ruthless corporate executive, Mr. Scrooge, who has no patience for holiday cheer and wants to shut down the show for good. Mr. Scrooge is convinced the only thing that matters is profit, and he will stop at nothing to get what he wants. As the holiday season draws to a close, the three friends prepare to say goodbye, and they all realize they found something special in each other and that their love for the holidays and each other will last a lifetime. But when all seems lost, Mr. Scrooge has a change of heart and learns the true meaning of Christmas. He apologizes for his selfish ways and decides to keep the podcast running, bringing joy and cheer to the listeners for years to come. Well, this is actually very interesting because it kind of sounds like it ends up where we're in a throuple.
I thought Mr. Scrooge was jumping into it.
No.
Like, is this a how polyamorous is this? There was a lot of hands in different places, Rob. I don't know about this one.
This got wild.
I'd watch it. Watch it, but I don't know about this one. Wow, that was entertaining. Who would have thought? A love triangle. Yeah, and then Mr. Scrooge too, you know. A party is what we call it sometimes.
Yeah.
In certain circles.
Wow. This is, I don't even know why Mr. Scrooge came in, and...
You know why he came in.
Yeah, okay. I asked, what's the name of this movie? It's called Holiday Cheer, : A Heartwarming Tale of Love, Friendship, and the True Meaning of Christmas. So...
Oh, but okay. The title could have used some work. It really could have used
some work.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so that's what the movie would be about with us. But, you know, what's really fun about the Hollywood Christmas is that there's the story that's happening, like, in the movie. And then there's a story that's happening outside of the movie with Jess and with Christopher. But there's also, like, this other love story that's happening between the actors of the film in Ashley and Michael.
Yeah, so Ashley and Michael, like most, you know, I won't say most, but like a lot of couples that we've seen on the screen, they got chemistry, you know, they got chemistry on screen, but it's starting to bleed into the off screen. The problem is that there's like, I think Ashley is like all in on the love story, and Michael might be a little preoccupied. He doesn't really care for Ashley that much. He actually only cares about Instagram likes and engagements. And so he keeps making these posts. She got to make fun of her just to get likes and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's seeing them and she's hating every second of it. And so Jess kind of seeing that there's like, some trouble in paradise. She goes to Ashley and she's like, listen, just give him a chance. I'm sure I'll talk to him, make him take the post down, blah, blah. Then she goes to Michael and she says, Michael, just, you know, be nicer to Ashley. Now, this leads to a showmance, and, you know, there's a girlfriend there. There's some infidelity happening.
Yeah.
All of this happening while they're trying to film this movie. Yeah, I was not prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chappelle, that we've covered a couple of these holiday, as I'm combining Hollywood and the holidays. But I feel like that one of the tropes that I'm noticing in the modern holiday film is the vilification of the influencer. They don't, if you're an influencer in these films, that you are like not a person that can be trusted.
Yeah, it's a shift, because I think originally holiday movies were just that. It was about like Santa comes down the chimney, gives out the presents. Nobody's complaining about anything. It's just like, you know, like, I don't know if I'm gonna get the gift I want, or dad's not home for Christmas, or whatever the case may be. And then it all works out at the end, Christmas miracle, blah, blah. Then somewhere along the lines, people started saying, no, it's sexy to talk about the capitalism of it all. Like, we're going to start making fun of, like, the big corporations. We're going to start making fun of the toys and all the things that just really bastardized Christmas and what it was really meant to be about, you know? And that happened, too. But now there's a shift. And they're like, okay, the toys are one thing, you know? But it was really, like, the issue is that people aren't tapped into the moment enough, because they're always trying to make Instagram posts and go viral and all this other stuff. So they're really missing the meaning of Christmas because they're looking at their phones. So I think it's generational. I think the next shift will probably be away from that too.
Very anti-phone in the holiday movies. So what will it be? What will the next shift be?
I don't know. I mean, like, once the influencers start making these movies,
she was a mom and pop influencer, but she didn't, and she did it the right way, and she didn't use all the filters. But then the
yes. The AI of it all was the real distraction. Like, we were real content creators, but people just started to use these chat box, and they started making these things. And now, like, the real creators don't get to experience the Christmas magic of sitting down and making a viral TikTok wearing a Santa hat. You know, like, now these damn bots are doing it, and we're losing our recipes here. We're losing the spirit of Christmas. I think I think, Rob, I think we know where he's going.
I think we're onto something for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
So once Christopher starts talking with Jess, they do kind of hit it off. They are vibing, and that he's like learning the ropes about how what goes into making the Christmas movie. There's a lot of like really cute things in here about how, you know, he went to Princeton, and then Rena says, ah, don't you get it? Like, this is the prince that is here to be, like, sweep you off your feet. And Jessica, that she is skeptical, but even she can't help seeing some of the similarities that are going on.
Yeah, big city boy meets small town girl. They have a conflict. Small town charm wins out over the cruel, unfeeling corporate world. And then the lovers use Christmas magic to save the day and make them fall in love. And sometimes there's a prince or a Princeton. And because there's a Princeton, it's a double whammy. It's a double Christmas movie. I mean, Rob, you and I have watched a Christmas movie.
It's a turducken. With the
prince. Yeah. Yeah, I guess. We've watched the Princess Switch. There's a prince there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that happens in Christmas movies. You know, so I don't think she's wrong. I think Rena sees, you know, she sees the whole picture. And even Jess is forced to kind of confront some of this. Also, Christopher is very clearly like pursuing her romantically. He immediately asks her on a date, you know, like, hey, let's go on a date on set. You know, yeah. So he's really laying it on thick early in the movie.
The only thing is that is there any like impropriety here of if you are Christopher and you are sort of like the finance guy here at the HBO Max conglomerate, is it inappropriate for him to be pursuing a romantic relationship with the director of one of the films? And isn't there like an alternative version where, you know, like is there some like are they not necessarily like equals in this romantic relationship in that, you know, he has the power to shut down her production?
Well, yeah, it sounds like she's getting fired regardless. And I was thinking the same thing, Rob. I was like, you know, this is probably inappropriate, but I got distracted from that very quickly when his wife showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what happens is we're sitting here contemplating that very question. Is like, is this appropriate? Like, they keep meeting up and having these cute little dates, and there's all these foils to like the actual movie going on. But then at some point, the biggest foil of all shows up, and it's this woman named Teresa. And Teresa shows up, and she is the executive she's the president of the network. Apparently, she went to school with Christopher at Princeton, and that's kind of how he got this job. So there's already like some shadiness going on there. So Jess meets with the president of the network, and she's like, you know what? We're shutting the Christmas stuff down in mid-production. Like, we're slashing your budget even more. Mm-hmm. Like, and so, like, once we finish this, there will be no more Christmas. It's over. Well, he says this. She says this to Jessica. Jessica immediately texts Christopher, like, hey, what the F? Have you met this director, the executive person? Like, Teresa's trying to shut us down. And he says, oh, so you've met my wife. Rob, I fell out my chair. I was not ready for that.
Yeah.
Why is he so coy about this? Your wife? Sir, come on now. How's the decorum?
Yeah. And her name is Mrs. Frost. She has a very memorable meeting with Jess. The fan is like blowing her hair in the wind, which was actually just like a fan on the set. There's a lot of stuff like that. That's just like, really fun in terms of like the behind the scenes of making the movie. But she is like telling Jessica about how, yeah, they're cutting the budgets. And she said, actually, you know, this was Chris's idea to take the budget down.
Yeah, this is Chris's idea. And so Jess was like, where are you at? But she had been texting him, and he had not been texting back. She even double texted him, which was kind of tacky, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is bad. Like, things are not working out well for Jess right now.
Yeah, so one of the things that happens earlier in the film is there's a point where, you know, Jess and Chris are like starting to bond more, and they're bonding over that there is a little dog in the movie, in the fake movie that they are making, and the dog gets lost. And so Jessica and Christopher have to go out and look for the dog, and they're running across the Warner Brothers lot. And they end up looking for the dog on the set of a movie, Chappelle. And I wanted to get your take on what you thought about this movie. The movie is a zombie apocalypse, like Walking Dead type universe, where it happens to be like a 50s, like Grease type movie.
Yeah, Grease meets The Walking Dead. Rob, you know, I've never seen Grease. So
yeah,
I saw the costume was like, oh, it's in the '50s, but they say Grease meets The Walking Dead. And I don't know what that means for the plot of The Walking Dead, because I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of The Walking Dead. As a matter of fact, I've seen every episode of The Walking Dead from beginning to end. And you know what? This is not completely out of the ordinary. This is something that they could very well do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a 50s zombie movie.
Rob, there was an episode of Fear the Walking Dead where there was literally a wrestling match with the zombies, like in a wrestling ring.
Mm-hmm.
Aisha Tyler came. She was a professional wrestler. It was a whole thing, but there was like a legit zombie suplex. Does it? Does it really? In a zombie apocalypse, you want to have a wrestling match? Like, okay. So yeah, I think if they can slide that in there, they can definitely do that. But if you're cutting budgets, why is this not number one? Like, why are you jumping to the Christmas movie when Grease meets The Walking Dead is right there?
Well, I think that what they're saying is that over at HBO Max, that they have like crunched the numbers and they know like what will perform and what will not perform. And they know that like, okay, a zombie show set in the world of Grease, that is going to be a ratings winner. People will subscribe to HBO Max for that. But another Christmas movie, it's not bringing in the money.
I just think they need to recrunch the numbers. Crunch them again, because you're doing there's some funny math there. I guess, you know, when they go find a dog, though, they do have like some Christmassy moments as well.
Yeah.
Christopher does this weird dog whistle
thing. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So I will say that whatever he did, like it didn't seem like it was working for the dog in the movie, but my dog was like at full attention.
Like, what is that amazing sound?
Yeah. My dog's super sensitive with anything like a dog barking in a movie, like you know, somebody calling a dog. She's just like staring at the TV. Like, what is this? What is this evil?
Yeah, well, Christopher does this like whistle thing, and then they amplify it on the walkie-talkie, and it actually works to get the dog back eventually. So yeah, it was pretty cool, but I'm not shocked that it caught your dog's attention, because like the sound he made, I was like, I don't think a person can make that sound, but he did it. Yeah, and that dog actually, you know, disappearing was just another one of those Christmas foils, you know, just like another thing that, oh man, you know, Christmas magic is gonna have to make this happen, and who knew that Christopher himself could just call dogs from, you know, miles away.
He can. And so, Chappelle, when we're talking about the formula of the film, okay, that there is a certain Christmas formula that you have to adhere to. And so Chris is like, well, maybe like there's some things that we could be doing to sort of like make this like a little different. Maybe this can stand out. And so Jess's idea in the movie is that Chloe's cupcake store should start selling keto cupcakes. Now, this goes back to another thing that I've noticed from the films that you and I have watched. Another punching bag of the holiday films is anything keto, because that's anytime that we go back to, and this wasn't even a holiday, a Christmas movie. Go back to the Halloween movie that we watched where that, we saw where was it Marlon Wayans' wife was Kelly Rowland, that she was making like vegan cupcakes, she had like a vegan bakery and keto scones.
Yeah. Stop trying to wokeify our Christmas and holiday treats. You know, like we don't need keto candy corn. You know, we don't need these things, and we definitely don't need a keto Christmas. And yeah, so that is another punchy bag. I don't know. You know what? I don't know who has it out for the healthy, you know, holiday treats industry. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem to be bothering anybody. I don't think I've ever gotten a cupcake and was like, is this keto? Oh my God. You know, like it ruined Christmas. You know, I don't know if that's something that I've ever experienced. What about you?
Well, so I don't think that you really like try a keto cupcake. I think you are either doing keto and everything you eat is keto, and then you are happy to have a keto cupcake, or you're somebody who is not doing keto. I think having a keto, like a keto cupcake, if you are not in a keto lifestyle, like doesn't do you anything.
Right. Maybe it tastes bad. Like you just
yeah, I'm sure it's. But you know what? That if you are doing keto and you have a keto cupcake, I'm sure it tastes great. But if you're not doing keto and you have a keto cupcake, it's like get away from me with this. What is this evil?
Yeah, I mean, I would be very upset if I bit into a cupcake and it didn't taste like the cupcake I expected. Mm-hmm. I've never done keto, so I don't know like what the implications of the flavors of that.
I tried
cupcake
it once
at that point.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you tried keto?
Yeah, there was a point where I was trying it. Like this is like 3 years ago, and it's very hard to do because you have to really like you know plan out like everything. And I mean, there are like some upsides to it. I don't think I ever had a keto cupcake, but I don't think the small town mom and pop shop is going to do well with a keto cupcake. But I do think that maybe if you had a keto cupcake business and you sold them online, maybe there's something there.
Oh yeah. Because people who are like have dietary restrictions, they need to have food that they like too. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, if I want a cupcake and I'm, you know, on this diet or on this journey, yeah, I would love to have one.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't necessarily need my local bakery to sell them because I mean, I might be the only person in my local area that wants them. Mm-hmm. But if there is like somebody online who is at least selling, you know, keto style, you know, desserts or, you know, a keto cookbook, you know, there are ways to where this could be lucrative in other ways.
Living a keto loca.
Yes.
Yeah. But so I was doing the keto for a couple of months and then I like went to the doctor and then he was like, your cholesterol is like five times what it should be. It's like, okay, I guess I'll stop now.
You know, they tell you to consult your doctor before you try any of these
that
diets.
Was it.
I'm sure you did not.
I didn't consult the doctor before, but I did. He's like,
people do these things and then afterwards they go to the doctor like, what's up? What's going on? It's like, well, I didn't tell you to do this. I'm pretty sure I told you were fine.
Yeah. So I stopped doing the keto.
Oh, that was a good idea. Yeah, that's definitely a good idea. Yeah. But the keto cupcake thing is just like, it is a deviation from the formula Jess normally uses. And so Rena, of course, is pointing out like, you shouldn't do this because that's not what makes this story work. Like the keto cupcake is not what's going to bring Jeb and Chloe of the cupcakes together. It's really just the Christmas magic and you really have to let it run its course. And she does not.
But it's interesting in the movie. Like, I don't know what Jessica was hoping for that she works in like the keto cupcake into the script. But it seems like that Chloe's cupcake store, like the keto cupcake is not a big seller. It seems like that it really only helped to only further precipitate her cupcake store closing.
Yeah. And while happening this, we also find out that, the actor who plays Michael is dating someone as well. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's a lot going on. So it's like
there are layers like the cupcakes.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, this bakery is one thing that they need to fix, but also they got to fix the chemistry between their main actresses, well, actress and actor, because, yeah, with him basically having a showman's with his act, with his like co-star. He cheated on his girlfriend for sure. Well, I guess they said it's not cheating, right? Like him and his girlfriend have a situation. Like, they have understanding.
Yes.
If it's a showman, it's fine.
Right. The actress, Ashley, was upset that he made an Instagram post. Jessica, the director, told Michael, can you go and try to, like, make her feel more comfortable? And then he found out later that they slept together and that she found out they had a girlfriend. And then, allegedly, it was the girlfriend's idea, Chappelle.
Yeah, she said, it's fine. If it's for the art, Rob, then, I mean, who are we? Who are we to stand between, you know, artistic integrity? And so they needed to make this chemistry look good. So he started to have a romantic relationship with his co-star. Now, the problem is the co-star was not aware of this. And so Michael is indeed a scumbag. But, you know, Ashley's going to have to deal with that in her own way.
Yeah. So ultimately, they find out that the budget has been slashed for the film, that the production didn't get shut down. But basically, they have to finish this movie with no money.
Yeah. And this is dumb because like they already were, you know, on the way out, but now it's like, oh, this is really an issue because now we can't even make basic scenes happen. So there's like start to have issues with the wardrobe, and then eventually start having issues with the final act of the show, because in this movie, it's supposed to end with like Santa's coming to like a Christmas village, because that's a thing that you and I have just, you know, discovered in our Netflix viewing.
Yes.
And there's supposed to be a musical number and children there, and they can't afford any of that. They can't afford Santa. They can't afford the children. They can't afford the townspeople, and they can't afford the music.
Yeah. In our movie, what are the townspeople all doing while we're in the thruple and Mr. Scrooge is trying to shut us down?
Well, we're podcasters, so do we even meet the townspeople?
Yeah. Like, we could like, do this very low budge.
Oh yeah, no, this movie would cost roughly $72 to happen, you know, because yeah, we don't need townspeople. I mean, you could definitely like do some one off shots of people in their homes listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. and kind of nodding along. Mm-hmm. But yeah, unless we're doing a live show, Rob, we really don't need an audience for this.
Yeah. Okay.
So not a physical one. Yeah. Okay.
I think we could pull this movie off. Holiday Cheer: The Heartwarming Tale of Love, Friendship, and the Dreaming of Christmas.
Exactly. So Chris is still trying to make things work. Jess is out on Chris because she's like, okay, you have this wife. You also have been like trying to date me as well. And this apparently was your idea to cut our budget. So I really need you to go away. And so they're trying to remove him from the set. But this Christopher guy, he's relentless. So he might not be on set with Jessica, but he's behind the scenes still trying to make this movie magic work.
Mm-hmm. And so Rena is the one who really tries to get everything back on track. She brings in Jess and says, you know, that she needs to start to confront some of her character flaws, which we explore in a very meta way. It turns out, Chappelle, that she is an Enneagram 3.
No. She is Enneagram 1, Rob.
Oh. Make no mistake. Oh, okay. I thought that because she's such a perfectionist.
One's the perfection.
But she's so principled.
Yeah, it has to be this certain way. It's not about achieving, because the 3 would never let you know that their movies were flopping and were not making a lot of money. Jessica's fine with that. She's like, it has to be a certain way. Because listen, they tell her to explore her backstory, right? They say, Jess, what is it about your childhood that made you this way? Like, why are you such a perfectionist? And she's like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, I don't know. And then after hemming and hawing a little bit, she's like, well, when I was younger, my parents really wanted things to be a certain way. And I thought the only way we can avoid getting in trouble was if we just did everything correct. Everything had to be a certain way, or, you know, to avoid us like the family feuding. Like she didn't come from a great household in her perspective. And so she was just trying to do everything right to keep the peace. And it kind of backfired. It made her this person who is like very rigid in her beliefs, mm-hmm. and she can only see things a certain way. And so now that she's confronted that, Rena's like, okay, you did the hard work. Now that that's happened, let's wait for the miracle to roll in, because you have to confront your character flaw in order to make these movies happen.
Yeah. And so really what they decide to start doing is, because they have no money for any extras or anything on the set, so they end up getting like all of the people from the crew to be in the movie. Now, in my limited experience, I don't know if this is like, you know, there's a lot of like union stuff involved with making the movies. I'm not sure necessarily like if the crew of the movie is going to be so quick to like, hey, we're going to just be in the movie. Like a lot of the people I find that are like, you know, it's interesting, like movie making, it's thought of as like sort of like, OK, it's very like artsy. But the people who are like the crew members of the movie, like it is like very blue collar, like the people that are making the movie, and they're not necessarily like all there for like the love of the art. For a lot of them, it's just people like that are showing up, like that this is their job, and they're there for like they don't really have any say in the art of the movie. They're there for their paycheck.
Yeah, I'd imagine some of these people don't even watch the film. It's just like, I'm here because this is what I do. I get paid to do this production thing, And I don't care about the Christmas movie of it all. So I could see that for sure. But for me, I'm kind of like that too, Rob. Like, I'd much rather not be on camera. But if you tell me you can be on camera, I'm like, well, make no mistake. Like, I will be there. So I think I'm one of those production people where they say, okay, we need the crew to be a part of the cast for this one scene. I'm like, okay, tag me in. This is my big break. Now, after that, I'll go back to where I was at. But for that moment, I'm playing ball every time.
And so there are some delays also with it. Like, they can't afford any children. They're like putting like snow jackets on sandbags to try to make it look like that there are kids in the movie. And they're waiting for that. The one thing they do have is Santa, and they have a pretty solid Santa. This isn't like a cheapo depot Santa.
No. I already told you this is the real Santa, because he walks in. And he's like, where are my children? Where is the celebration? And all they're like, wait, Santa, we can't even afford you. Also, what children? We don't have those.
Mm-hmm. Although you think the real Santa would know like what's going on a little bit more. He sees you when you're sleeping. Right.
He does, but he's got a lot going on, you know. But yeah, so once
also, please, Santa, do not look at me when I'm sleeping.
Santa, look at me when I'm sleeping and not when I'm awake. At least when I'm sleeping, I know that I ain't doing nothing. But when I'm awake, God knows what Santa's seeing. You know, I just look at me when I'm asleep, like, please.
Please, fine. Like, stop observing my bedroom, like, period.
Yeah, how creep? About this? Like, Santa, okay. We have limitations to where Santa can see. Like, he sees you when you're sleeping because you're not moving. But only if you're sleeping and you're not moving. He knows when you're awake. That's fair. But he also doesn't see you when you're awake. He's just aware that you're up. You know, like, I don't need Santa in all the, like, you know, the nooks, the crannies, all stuff, you know, whatever. But yeah, this Santa shows up and he's very much like, this is a real Santa Claus. So he's like, I'm here to save Christmas. The crew is agreeing to get on camera. Everything seems to be working out. But when it's time to film, Santa is nowhere to be found because he's actually found the children. He's like with some random kids trying to do Santa stuff. Sir, you're on the clock now. It's not even, you know, like, this is no longer your time. Like, you have to work for us. And so they have to go, and like, Chris goes and he grabs Santa, he puts him in the cart, and he's beating around. Teresa's trying to shut everything down because she's on set just for the day, just by happenstance. And she's looking around like, this is exactly why we're cutting the budget, because we can't even start on time because Santa's missing. You don't have any kids. You got sandbags on these jackets. This is a mess, and I'm about to shut all this down. She's our new Grinch, you know?
Yeah, and what do you do with the Grinch? Her heart is two sizes too small, and so that they said there must be some reason why she hates Christmas. And so Jess is able to get to the bottom of it. And she was going to be in the Christmas pageant, and they didn't let her. And they said, okay, oh, we don't have any musicians. Would you sing in the movie, HBO Max executive, Warner Brothers executive? Like, would you sing in this Christmas movie? And it turns out that this was her dream.
Yeah. She's moved to tears. And she's just like, I don't know. I didn't have anything prepared. And she really does. She sounds great. She sings like, "Well, let it snow." And you have the crew out there pretending to be like townspeople. Santa's doing the Santa thing. All seems well. So in the movie, Chloe, her original cupcakes have made that are made with love end up saving the day. So like the keto cupcakes were fine, but it's really those original cupcakes that follow the formula that really help save the day. Jeb decides to help her stay and sell the cupcakes. They're going to need a bigger kitchen. They're starting to get closer. They're about to kiss. There's no snow. There's just no snow. And so we're like, whoa, pause. We can't continue the movie like this.
Yeah. So they're holding for that. And we see like Jess and Christopher have like a moment, and he's like, hey, you know, I know I'm like the like head, like accounting person here for Warner Brothers, but what if I became like the producer of the Christmas movies? I'm like, sir, I feel like this is like a major pay cut from, I guess it's not about the money, but
it's not about the money, Rob. It's about love. Cause see, that's the thing. Chris is trying to talk.
Yeah,
to
you don't work with who you love. That's a big mistake.
We'll rob you. Never mind. We don't have to get into that. I was going to say, you've been doing a podcast with your wife for years at this point.
Relationships need space to breathe.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do. So yeah, he's going to Teresa and he's telling her like, Teresa, we got to keep these holiday movies going. And she's like, and that's just not working. But Teresa is so happy with her moment in the sun singing and in the Christmas movie that love, her love for singing has saved Christmas because she is so happy with all of this that she's like, no, we're going to keep this Christmas thing going. Now, Chris is like, okay, now that I'm on production, I'll make sure that we're sitting hand in hand making these things happen. Love, again, is saving Christmas. The two of them start to move in for a kiss. And then Jess realizes that, no, wait, Chris is married still to Teresa, who's right there.
Who's right there. She's like, right there.
She's like, what about your wife, sir? And I'm thinking, I'm at home thinking like, yeah, what about your wife?
Right.
You're not going to address this? Yeah, your wife, dog. You're just not even, she right over there singing and crying and stuff.
And she says, well, yeah, what about your wife? He's like, what? My wife? My wife? What? Like, what, yeah. What is it like? Your wife. Oh, she's like, yeah, look at this text. Remember? You were like, yeah. Oh, I see you met my wife. He's like, my work wife. Siri was the villain of the whole film.
Yeah. Right. It was talk to text. I said work wife, and they only put wife. Like, dear, it's an easy mistake to make. Rob, this is a lie, right? Like, that's definitely 100%. Like,
this is real wife.
This is
yeah.
his real wife.
Yeah, like, and maybe it's like maybe it's like me and Chappelle and Abby,
right? Like, it's a party, or it's like Michael and Ashley, where Michael's like, yeah, she's cool with it though, you know, like it's my wife, but you know, it's cool. You ain't gotta lie, Chris. You know, just be straight up. You don't know what Jess likes. She might be okay with that kind of thing. But yeah, he says it was all a misunderstanding. He's not married. And Teresa's his work wife. So at this point, even Rena knows. Let me get out of the way because I think it's time.
Boy.
It's time for the Christmas moment to happen.
I don't have a work wife. I mean, I'd like one.
You don't have a work wife? Yeah, you don't. You don't have a work wife.
Mm-hmm.
You do need a work wife.
Work wife, like
Sam's basically your work wife. It doesn't say low bar
podcast. Yeah,
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 yeah. You need a work wife. I don't have a work wife.
Mm-hmm.
I need a work wife too. Well, I used to have a work wife. It got messy, but I need like a podcast work wife. It won't be messy at all.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. But, well, we're gonna have to find us work wives. How about that?
Okay.
Robin Chappelle need a work wife.
Yeah.
And we need
Do we have the same work wife like in the Christmas movie?
We got to find us an Abby. Mm-hmm. If you're an Abby out there, call us. We're looking for a work wife.
Yeah.
So work wives aside, this is the Christmas miracle we're talking about. He's single, she's single. They're about to start working together hand in hand. We also find out that Ashley and Michael might be a thing too, because Michael's girlfriend has dumped him.
Yeah.
So they're working together hand in hand. Both couples have, like, in the movie and outside of the movie, are like experiencing this Christmas magic, and it starts to snow, Rob. It's a Christmas miracle.
Snowing and ultimately, we learned the lesson that, you know, logic doesn't ever save Christmas. Love saves Christmas.
Yep. And that's the end of the movie.
This was fun. I thought this was a cute movie.
It was adorable, you know, for an HBO look, deep dive into HBO, you know, I think this was pretty cool. I think, like I said, it's probably a different format than I've ever seen for a Christmas movie. But I did like that they played with the formula that they gave us. Like, you know, like, it didn't have like a lot of huge, well-known actors and actresses like that. It was just, it was fun.
Yeah. It's like, we're going to come out here, we're going to do like all the things that the holiday movie is supposed to do, but we're also going to like wink at the camera and like acknowledge like, okay, these are the things that are sort of like hokey and cheesy about these movies, and we're going to have fun with it, and we're going to put a little bit of a twist on it, and ultimately, you're still going to get like all of the feelings that you're supposed to get from the movie. So I thought they did a really good job with this.
Yes, A Hollywood Christmas was really good. And would you say it was better or worse than the Christmas Switch?
The Princess Switch? Well, I feel like that we really were coming in at a disadvantage not having seen the Princess Switch 1 or 2. I thought you were going to ask, is this better than Falling for Christmas? And I would say undoubtedly. Absolutely.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big one. Yeah, for the holiday films, I think this was my favorite one. I'm not gonna lie to you. This was fun. I don't have to watch Falling for Christmas again, but this didn't feel like it was too long. You know, I told you Falling for Christmas felt like it was a pinch too long. And I don't think we need 3 or 4 sequels for this one either.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think we're good. I think this was a good showing, and I'm happy we watched it. Good idea. This was a good time to take it to the max, Rob.
Okay, we took it to the max, but next week we're gonna bring it back to the nothing but Netflix. So we talked about doing another holiday special that we'll get one more holiday show out before we get to the big day next weekend. Chappelle, that we have some options over on Netflix, but one of the ones that we've been talking about is called I Believe in Santa.
Yes, I Believe in Santa is the number two movie on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
So it definitely does what we needed to do. It's a tight hour and 30 minutes long, Rob.
Yes. I think that this is a little bit not in the style of the Hallmark holiday film that we've talked about here in the last couple. I think this is more of a comedy. After 5 months of dating Tom, Lisa is horrified to learn he's obsessed with her least favorite holiday. Is it time to give Christmas another chance? I think this might be a little bit more of like a broad comedy than just a straight up, just like holiday feels.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. I think it's going to be funny. I think, you know, I don't think Hollywood Christmas was like, you know, very funny. Like it was fine. Like it was, you know, it was like,
I think you smile more than you laugh.
Yeah, it makes you grin. It kind of makes you glow on the inside. Mm-hmm. But I think this might actually make me laugh. And so I'm excited to watch it.
Okay. So that's what we'll do next week, barring that we come up with anything that is emergent on nothing or on the Netflix platform. All right, Chappelle. We had a lot of fun today.
We did.
I like this one.
We did. Yeah. Just in time for the holidays, Rob. Like, you know, I think we are going to talk again before Christmas, but do you have a lot of stuff going on this holiday season? You got a lot of stuff coming up?
Podcast-wise or personal-wise?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to share.
I think I'm pretty good in terms of my holiday stuff. You know, we're going to just winding down after the big Survivor week, but we are still processing Survivor 43. So we'll have more content there. Then we're going to be doing something fun this week. We're going to be doing some shows talking about the year, looking back at some of our favorite reality shows. We'll kick it off on Tuesday with the year in Big Brother, as we will take a look back with a really fun panel on Tuesday night, where we'll look back at the 2022 in Big Brother. There was a celebrity Big Brother season this year, Big Brother Canada 10, and then, of course, Big Brother 24. So we will do that in a special on Tuesday night, and I'll be doing the same for Survivor on Wednesday night, looking back at the year in Survivor, including its international editions. What did we learn about Survivor in 2022, and where are we going from here? It's all on robisitwebsite.com.
Cool. Yeah, I'm excited for that.
One other holiday special I will be having on Renap. I'll be watching a Hanukkah movie. We'll see how many of the tropes from this movie get talked about in Hanukkah on Rye, coming up on this week's Robin and Kibanita podcast.
I'm very excited for that. Can't wait.
Yeah. Chappelle, what's coming up for you?
Not a lot. I am guesting on the Shit 90 Shows Taught Me podcast to talk about Home Alone 2, one of my favorite Christmas movies. Not my favorite, but it's up there. It's up there, and like it's like in top five, top seven, you know, whatever. But I'm very excited to do that. I just recently did a bunch of like season recaps for post show recaps. So Bel Air, The Walking Dead, you know, those are over, but we're just getting started here on post show recaps. So check those out. You know, G and I just finished Abbott Elementary for the season. And G and I have some other stuff coming up too. I think I'll also be doing some Big Brother content over on Silent Podcast. So check me out in all those places, but follow me on Twitter at Chappelle_show to keep up with all of that.
Okay. Great job, Chappelle. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back talking holiday films one more time here in 2022 next week. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.